Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this morning we get a bit of a sequel to Ash Wednesday as Paul discusses the relationship between sin and death. And you could probably describe the relationship between the two sort of like this: you can't have one without the other. Sin and death. You can't have one without the other. And if you stop to think about it, this kind of puts us in a pretty lousy position. Because on the one hand, for those who are keenly aware of their sin, well, there's the added bonus of being keenly aware of the death that awaits them because of it. And on the other hand, for the person who thinks that he has overcome sin by his works or some other way, well, eventually he will die. And that death will show him that, well, he was a sinner after all. So, our sin points us forward to our death, or our death will point us backward to our sin. Sin and death. You can't have one without the other. And so it makes sense that Paul would describe these two things in sort of dictatorial terms. They reign over us like a king. They are our taskmasters. We are their subjects. And try as we might, well, there's nothing that we can do about it. This past Wednesday, we removed the facade of our self-righteousness by inscribing ashes upon our foreheads. Ashes laced with the honest words, "You are dust, and to dust you will return." Words that are frankly so blunt that we don't really know what to do with them. Right? Do I sort of have a nervous smile on my face as the pastor highlights my mortal demise? Do I tell him thank you for dirtying my nicely manicured demeanor? Do I say amen with wholehearted concession that yes, I am dust? Or is it easier to say nothing and to simply let those words wash over me and finally acknowledge the reality that I spend most of my life denying? You are dust. I remember the first time that I observed Ash Wednesday by receiving ashes on my forehead. We didn't do it when I was growing up as a kid, and so the first time that I had ever practiced that tradition was in college. And so I went to chapel that morning, and I had that dirty grit wiped on my forehead in the shape of a crude cross. I heard the morose words, "You are dust," and then I went to class. And I frankly didn't really give it much thought after that. But then there were these moments throughout the day, these moments when those dirty ashes would show themselves. In between classes, I'd be washing my hands in the restroom, I'd look up, and there it was, staring me in the mirror, taking me by surprise every time, a blackened smear across my forehead. Now, I'd be taking notes in class, and I'd reach down to turn the page, and there it was, a thumbprint smudged in black on the corner of the page because I had rubbed my forehead and forgotten about the ashes. And when the day was over, I was getting ready for bed and noticed in the mirror that the soot had migrated to other parts of my face. I'd been walking around like a dirty fool without even knowing it. And even as I washed my face and it felt nice and clean, I glanced down only at a washcloth that was now stained with dirt. See, no matter what I did, I couldn't get rid of this ash, this sin. And it wasn't so much that I was reminded that I was going to die someday. Now, what struck me even more than that was how much I denied and ignored why I was going to die someday. Something I never really considered until that tangible reminder would sort of pop up here and there. That day, I was not allowed to forget how much my own sin stained and soiled and infected the rest of my life. And when that black soot would show up, it revealed my complacency, showed me how easily I donned the facade of self-righteousness, thinking that I was doing pretty good, but giving not a second thought to my own sin and the death that I deserve because of it. And so those ashes burned away the mask, and I spent the day constantly trying to clean up that black residue from my skin, my class notes, my clothing, my life. And at least for a day, I was reminded of who I really am. Mortal dust. But even more than that, I was reminded of why I am mortal dust. It's because I'm a sinner. That's what Paul talks about in our text from Romans 5 today. He says in verse 12 of our text, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, so death spread to all men." Why? Because all sinned. You see, it's the last part of that verse that we prefer not to consider so much. I mean, I've yet to meet anybody who says that they're not going to die. We all pretty well know that. But what we don't consider often enough, the very thing that the Lenten season asks us to consider, is why we will die. See, we live in a culture that has done everything with death except call it exactly what it is. So we'll give all kinds of explanations for why we die, right? We'll say things like, you know, God needed another angel in heaven, which is wrong. We'll say things like, he needed them in heaven more than he needed them here, which is wrong. We'll say things like Forrest Gump's mother, dying is just a part of life, which is an oxymoron. That doesn't make sense. Death and life do not go together. Or we'll try to figure out a way to get out from underneath death's crushing blow when it comes. We'll say something like, finally their suffering is over. True, but that doesn't make death good. We'll say, finally they are with the Lord. True, but that doesn't make We'll talk about the moment that it happened, how the whole family was there, that they were surrounded by the ones that they loved. You should have seen the expression on Grandma's face. It was like she saw Jesus. Wonderful, but that doesn't make death good. You see, these are all just symptoms of the deeper problem of not taking our sin seriously enough. When we redefine death as some kind of good thing, then we end up redefining our sin as mere mistakes that don't really deserve real, temporal, and eternal punishment. But you see, Scripture is quite clear. Death is always only our enemy. The wages that we earn for the work of our sin, and the worst thing that happens when we redefine death as somehow good, is that we actually make Christ's Easter tomb meaningless. After all, if death isn't really all that bad, then I guess Easter can't really be all that good. Because if dying is just a part of life, well then what's the point of rising from the dead? But death is bad. And it will happen to you because of your sin. You can't have one without the other. And it's only when we uphold this difficult and crushing reality, the reality that sin and death reign over us and we can't do anything about it, then finally, the sweetness of the gospel can do its work. Because you see, death is not merely an enemy. No, it is an enemy that Christ comes to defeat. Death is not merely a tyrant, but it is a tyrant that Christ comes to depose. For the death that we all must undergo because of the one man Adam, as Paul says, well, the one man Christ Jesus comes to overthrow that death for all people. For you see, he brings two other things that overthrow sin and death. He brings forgiveness and life. And, well, you can't have one without the other. To be forgiven is to be given true life. And to have true life is to have been forgiven of all of your sin. And of course, for that to happen, Christ must have the soot and the grit of your sin smeared across his body as he's splayed out in cruciform on the cross. There, your sin and your death come together in the most profound way in the flesh of God's only Son. And for a time, sin and death reign over him, just as they will over us, but only for a time. This is God's Son, after all, the perfect, innocent Lamb of God, without sin himself, and therefore not subject to the grave. So he does rise on Sunday morning, granting the hope of true bodily resurrection life to all who die in him. And so because of Christ, we can call death the terrible thing that it is. Because of Christ, we don't need to redefine it. We don't need to look for the good in it. We are allowed to call it a tyrannical enemy. And we can do it without fear. For we have one even greater than sin and death, Christ Jesus, who brings forgiveness and life. Hymn number 708 in your hymnals has this beautiful prayer in the last verse. The hymn is called, Lord, Thee I Love With All My Heart. Listen to what the third verse says, a prayer in the face of death. Lord, let at last thine angels come, to Abram's bosom bear me home, that I may die unfearing, and in its narrow chamber keep my body safe in peaceful sleep. Now, the way that we often talk about death, that's probably where we'd end, right, with the peaceful sleep part. But that's not where the verse ends. Listen to what it says. Keep my body safe in peaceful sleep until thy reappearing. And then from death awaken me, that these mine eyes with joy may see, O Son of God, thy glorious face, my Savior and my fount of grace. Lord Jesus Christ, my prayer attend, and I will praise thee without end. So may our prayer be, even as we stare our sin and death in the face, for we have the forgiveness of our sins, and therefore the true lasting life that Christ has won for us by his empty grave. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.